Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Breakout. That's the Nothing Personal Word of the Day. Good morning. It is Friday. Thank God it's Friday, March 15th, 2024. And I must tell you that I am going to nut up and do my blazer and make it myself look good on the Nothing Personal with David Sampson YouTube channel. But I sit here today despondent. My favorite bagelry, H&H Bagels on the Upper East Side of New York City, has been shut down for health violations. I've been going to that place to get bagels. It's the best bagel in the world for scores of years. And I just got alerted to the article that they're shut down. I'm going to have to find a new bagel place. You know when you really like a place and then you realize, wow, there's mice, or wow, they haven't kept their locks in a refrigerator, or the chicken salad that you eat three times a day. Thank God I went vegan in January. Haven't had a bagel since January 1, which is amazing since I used to do three a day. So I shouldn't be too upset, but I am despondent. They're going to clean it up and reopen, aren't they? Breakout. I wonder, maybe I was feeling like I was breaking out because of the health violations of my favorite restaurant. But that's not really what I came here to talk about. We have such a crowded show that I have to start right now. So many things I want to talk about. So many corrections I have to make from you, the audience, telling me. It's Friday. What do you expect? Let's talk about spring breakout. Get it? Spring break. Breakout, as in teenagers who get the little zittays. There's been a spring breakout in Major League Baseball. Are you excited? Are you watching all the prospects play? How many hours? I was calculating this last night preparing for the show. I like doing things in hours. Some people do years or months or days. I like doing hours. It makes it feel more grand. The number of hours I spent in Major League Baseball talking about how to get people to give a flying rat's ass about prospects. We tried things from in-game entertainment. What's going on down in the farm? And you do an update of the scores of the minor league games. Let's show highlights of the minor league games with a special eye toward the big prospects. One of the problems is that when you highlight prospects, the majority of the time, they don't make your team because either they end up stinking and they don't develop into a major leaguer, or you end up trading them. Can you imagine the Padres getting you all excited for all their prospects? Why would I get all that excited? They're being traded. Maybe we should show highlights of other teams' players. That's what we should have done with the Marlins. I can't believe I just thought of this. Everyone always accused us of being the major league team's farm system. We should have shown highlights of other teams' prospects and said, look who we're going to trade for when we trade all your veterans that are making too much money. I can't believe I just thought of that now. Mortimer, get those machines back on. Give me my job back. Let's rewind past Derek and Bruce. Maybe I could do that. We'd sit around in league meetings. How do we make people care about the draft? We'd actually watch the NFL draft and drool with jealousy, the NBA draft. No one's ever heard of people drafted by Major League Baseball. Agents have, development scouts. It's a big deal. It's Christmas for scouts who work in the game, who toil on the road, building up millions of Marriott points on the road for 300 days a year, watching players who are never going to make it for that one diamond in the rough who makes it and then mentions your name when they get into the Hall of Fame. That's why they do their job. Once in a while, you hit it. But what do you do if you're a major league team? You don't know who to promote. You have a list of your top 30 prospects. It's hogwash. So MLB said, we know, we're going to try something else. I love them. God bless them for continuing to try. Let's, in spring training, go to a backfield. Let's take the top prospects from a team and have them play against the top prospects of another team. I've got a surprise for you. That's called the sixth inning of a spring training game. But no, we're going to make it a big deal. And we're going to put it on TV. We'll use a high home. If there's two really good prospects like Jackson Holliday and that pitcher for Pittsburgh who throws 115 miles an hour, I think his name is Paul Finch. We'll use about 10 cameras. It'll be great. I know it's Paul Skeens, Coca Finch, as in Sid Finch, throwing 120. Come on. Stay with me. H&H is closed. Damn it. You know what? If I say Lamar Hunt one more time, we'll get to that. So let me just finish this on the MLB breakout, just so you can think about what this is and why and not get too upset. It's MLB and Commissioner Manfred trying to double down on this great survey results of all the young people who are playing baseball, how baseball participation is up 16.9% over baseball, 6.9% over softball. It's kids 8 to 18. Everything's coming up roses because it's what the commissioner wanted. It's what we all wanted. Youth participation increasing. Now trying to get these prospects better known, more famous. Maybe there should be a TV show. So my thought is this. When you have an opportunity to promote your product, do you spend money to promote the now or do you promote the later? So there's a bunch of companies that spend hundreds of millions of dollars on research and development as they're figuring out new products, new technology. But when do they advertise it? You've got the Apple show. They come up once a year, but guess what? They're showing you what they've been working on for years. Here's what's coming, an iOS 18 update. Here's the Apple Vision Pros. Mine's still there in the box. I got to take it out of the box, Coca. Haven't had a minute. I was going to do a whole show in a Vision Pro. It's literally in the box 4.5 feet to my right. You advertise what you can monetize. Get it? That's the rule. I just made that up, but it's a good rule. It rhymes. Don't advertise if you can't monetize. How are we monetizing the top prospects of a team currently? Hold on. Let me think. All right. One more second. I'll get there. I will get there. Oh, they play in the minor leagues, but we don't get ticket revenue unless we own the minor league teams. But frankly, that doesn't add up to an entire utility infielder. Let me think what else. Advertise, monetize. Nope, can't think of it. Here's an idea. When they get called up, then we'll really follow them. We'll have them meet the media. We'll do a special show where there's cameras following them. We'll do a getting to know you on the Jumbotron. We'll do a little segment in the pregame. We'll do a social media blitz. It's not that I'm criticizing the spring breakout. But really, I love baseball for keeping trying. You got to try. You know who's not trying right now? Marcus Stroman. That wasn't good. Let me do that again, Coca. We're practicing here. Here we go. I mean, we're not live today, which is good. So you can edit all of this out. I cannot criticize baseball for doing the spring breakout. I love the initiative. I'm not convinced that we will ever catch the NBA or the NFL in our efforts to get people to care about players who are still so far away and still so unlikely to be productive Major League Baseball players. You know who doesn't really care? Is Marcus Stroman of the New York Yankees. Came out yesterday and said that he doesn't want to pitch opening day because he doesn't want to lose his rhythm. I think I screwed up the mute button there. You don't realize how hard rhythm is, he said. He wants to pitch the home opener against the Blue Jays. The Yankees start on the road for four against Houston. Then they go to Arizona for three. Then they have a day off. Then they open against Toronto at home on April 5th. The Yankees have no opening day starter. Garrett Cole out. Stroman, no. Rodon, $162 million. And Aaron Boone says, you know, things are going fine for him. Let's not muck it up with the stress of an opening day start. I guess they'll give it to Nasty Nestor, who's been wildly ineffective. But he had a good year a couple years ago. I guess that means the Yankees will go with Nestor in game one, Rodon in game two, then start Stroman in game three in Houston so he can come back on rest to open the season. I wish the Yankees would just have announced that and not given Stroman a chance to say that he turned down the offer to pitch opening day. Who turns down an opening day start? It's an honor. It goes on your resume. It's a legacy. A 8-time opening day starter. He was an opening day starter for 7 different teams. Whatever the case may be, it's cool. Hey, he started game 3 in the home opener. No one talks about the home opener. No one cares. And frankly, my position as president of a team is I don't need my best pitcher starting the home opener because people are going to come to the home opener. It's the one game people are going to come to. I want to win my opening day. Opening day always sets the stage. You want to win it so badly. 15 teams are disappointed on opening day. Do you think that baseball guarantees that the Dodgers and Padres will split their first 2 games in Korea? I'm not trying to throw out a conspiracy theory here, but you're going to schlep all the way to Korea to go 0-2? Can we go back, Coca? You can't do it now. If we had a staff, you know what we'd be doing? For all of MLB opening series in Japan, when the Mariners, remember when the Ichiro played for the Mariners, his last game, they called him up and he played in Japan. I went there to watch him. Did the Mariners split that opening day series or did they lose both? Or did they win both? I'm trying to remember. It's a long way to schlep to go 0-2 to start a season. All right, Coca. I appreciate corrections. We do this show live, and you're all with me every day. And thank you. And I do make mistakes. I keep calling the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs Lamar Hunt, and I'd be right if we were in 2005. Lamar Hunt is deceased. May his memory be a blessing. I was talking about Clark Hunt. But I kept saying Lamar 2 days in a row. Somebody said, is anyone going to correct David about the Chiefs owner being Clark? It's 2 days in a row. Can I get a 4869 on Hunt? Indeed, you can. 4869. Clark Hunt is the owner of the Chiefs. Brought in his president, Mark Donovan, yesterday or the day before and said, listen, I've got a perfect PR plan. We just won the Super Bowl. Everybody loves us in Kansas City. We're working with the Royals. I know the Royals just signed Bobby Witt Jr. The Royals won a World Series recently. I mean, 9 years ago, but pretty recently, 10 years ago, maybe. 9 years ago. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do what the Bears and White Sox are trying to do, and we're going to work together. And we're going to try to get the public to extend an existing sales tax. All they got to do is say, we've been paying it anyway. We're going to keep paying it till 2064. And when I'm 64, John and Paul and Ringo and George said, then we'll worry about it later. But in the meantime, we're going to get a new stadium for the Royals and amazing renovations to Arrowhead. Like $800 million worth of renovations. So listen, President Mark Donovan, I want you to go out there. And we've got this public vote coming up. It's coming up sometime in April, very, very soon, extremely soon. Here's our plan. I want you to tell people that before they go to the polls on April 2nd, and I want you to wear your ring, and if you could wear a Mahomes jersey, please, I want you to say that if you don't vote to extend the sales tax, we're going to move the team. Mark Donovan, the president, said to his owner, well, that's a great idea, Clark. I'll do that for you. What kind of crappy president of a team would not go to his owner and say, hey, I'm not so sure that's the right plan. Now, remember, I threatened to move the Marlins, and I was in total agreement with baseball and our owner because that was the right strategy at that moment for what we were trying to do. That team, that franchise had needed a ballpark long before I got there, long before I even got into baseball. There are ways and times to use different strategies to get public money. Do you think that the Kansas City Chiefs ought to be threatening relocation? Give me a show of hands. Anybody out there, anybody alive out there, think that that makes sense? So they sent Mark Donovan out to talk to the press. He was on Channel 41 in Kansas City, and he was asked about this April 2nd vote. And he talked about that the team is going to add a canopy to the upper deck, and we're going to have this and a bridge and a parking deck, yada, yada, yada. We're going to spend $800 million. That's what it's going to cost. We'll put in $300 million. You put in $500 million, and we'll all live happily ever after. Mahomes restructured his deal. We're going to be good forever. We just signed a new guy who, of course, his name escapes me. Just vote yes to extend. People are getting a little sick of the playbook of how owners are trying to get public money, a playbook that I helped write and that I used consistently in order to get public money. The thing is that the Hunt family is rumored to be worth about $25 billion. So people say, hey, if you're worth $25 billion, why are you only willing to put in $300 million? Why not pay for the whole $800 million and not get any public money? To which I again say to you, the way rich people get richer is on the backs of the community. That is the way it's been since the beginning of time. Every corporate titan, every person who has money, go back 100 years, go back 200 years. I can't opine. Of course I can. Let me say it better. I don't feel the need to opine whether I agree with a world in which the rich get richer, the middle class gets squozen, and the poor stay poor. Obviously, it would be great if that were not the economic system. Except the alternate economic system, which people tend to say exists in a few other countries, doesn't exactly work the way you think it does, where everything's fine and dandy. There are poor people in Canada. And there may be some people without money in Russia. Oligarchs tend to do well in any system. They're sort of like corporate titans, aren't they? So the old story of, hey, you're rich, please don't ask for money, it doesn't really work. And it doesn't really happen. But you don't need to be so gruff in your public statements. Speaking as a man who's been gruff from time to time. He said, when asked what happens if it doesn't pass and people sunset this sales tax and therefore the renovations are not paid for with public money, he said, I can't answer that for the Royals. I just know for us, the Chiefs, we would just have to look at all our options. And I think they would have to include leaving Kansas City. OMG. Can we workshop that, Mark, when you're asked? When I'm asked on behalf of the Marlins or the Expos, that's the answer. I dig it. Here's what I think the Chiefs' answer could be. President Donovan, can you tell us in your words, try to make it 100 words or fewer, what would happen if the great citizens of Kansas City decided not to extend the current sales tax? Well, thank you for asking. We've actually thought about that, and we will work with the public, and we will work with the community, and we will work with the elected officials to figure out the best and smartest way to have a partnership that will result in a first-class facility and the continued amazing success of the Kansas City Chiefs. We are open, willing, and able to go down any path required to achieve the collective goal of this community. That said, we are certainly hopeful and believe that on April 2nd, the community will agree with me that a renovated Arrowhead and a new stadium for the Royals is the best thing for Kansas City. That would have been easy. I can't answer that for the Royals. Don't you think you should have talked to the Royals before doing your media blitz, since you guys are both benefiting from this extended sales tax and you both need this ballot to pass? Don't you think there could have been a little bit of communication, just a teeny tiny bit, to go over, hey, what are you going to say when you're asked what happens if it doesn't pass? No, I don't know, but we didn't think of that. Please. Can you imagine if their PR people didn't prep them to think to answer that question? Hold on. I have a new thought. Is it really possible that they sent a president out to do media and they didn't prepare him with the possible question in the media? Hey, what happens if this ballot initiative doesn't pass? It can't be. People can't be that incompetent. I refuse to believe that, Coca. I'm going to do a wait to see. Wait to see when I tell you something's going to happen. If it does, great. If it doesn't, I'll revisit it. As an example, I am this close. My fingers are really close together right now. You can't even shine a flashlight through my fingers. That's how close they are right now. Stay with me. 24 minutes left, and then we are going lover boy. What were we just talking about? I'm this close to admitting that my wait to see about Victor Wembanyama not winning Rookie of the Year may not win. I may have gotten that wait to see wrong. I'm not saying anything yet, but boy, Victor Vector is darn good. He's so good. He's going into Denver tonight to play the, who's he playing? The Nuggets, as I recall. All right, the wait to see. I have it today. It doesn't matter whether the sales tax extension passes on April 2nd. The Chiefs are not leaving Kansas City. Hear me now and listen to me later. Whether or not the sales tax extension passes on April 2nd, the Chiefs don't leave town. All right, when we come back, we are going to review the new Matthew Vaughn movie called Argyle. I love Bryce Dallas Howard. We're going to talk about it. And then we're going to get to try to figure out which crisis PR firm Aaron Rodgers hired. That should be interesting. I think you should stick around. It's going to be like very quick break.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
Welcome back to Nothing Personal. Last show of the week. Guess what? We'll be back Monday live, 8 a.m. It's what we do. Thank you for telling all your friends about Nothing Personal. With your backing, who knows what the future brings for this funny little traveling road show that Coca and I do every day. Every day, Coca. We're up to episode 1,012 of regular episodes. All right, let's review a movie. Oscars are over, although I'm still watching some Oscar movies. I still have some to review. But yesterday, I watched, started very, very early in the morning, I watched Argyle. Argyle is with Bryce Dallas Howard. It is with Henry, the Superman guy, square jaw, naked guy from the Oscars, and Samuel Jackson, and Dua Lipa, and Sam Rockwell. I got to get better at pronouncing names. I apologize for that, Dua. Did that ruin our chances? Here's the thing about Argyle. It's directed by Matthew Vaughn, who did Kick-Ass. He did The Kingsman. He directed a movie that I suggest way more than Argyle called Layer Cake. If you're looking for one Matthew Vaughn movie, go back to a Daniel Craig movie called Layer Cake. This is pre-James Bond. I've reviewed it before here on Nothing Personal, I think. Maybe on Levitard. Was I entertained by Argyle? It's 2 hours and 20 minutes, 2 hours and 15 minutes, maybe. I got up once because I had to do this show or to make breakfast or whatever I was doing or to go running. I can't remember what stopped me from finishing it in one sitting. Could I have? Yeah. Is there great action? Yeah. Dialogue, good. Story, interesting. Bryan Cranston's in it. Catherine O'Hara's in it. Moira from Schitt's Creek. Walter White from Breaking Bad. I mean, there's got to be something to this movie. I think it suffers from the too many stars situation. There's some scenes that are not that realistic. That said, Bryce is one of my favorites, and so is Sam Rockwell, and they're on the screen the majority of the time. So while it's not getting reviewed well, it'll entertain you. I would not spend $19.99 on it. Wait for it to stream and use it as a movie that helps you in your mind justify your expenses on your streaming networks. That would be my advice for Argyle. And since I'm giving out advice, I've got a little advice for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Did you see this story the other day? It's too good to be true. I didn't believe it when I read it. Jaromir Jagr was having a bobblehead night in Pittsburgh, and I love Pittsburgh. I should go to Pittsburgh one of these days. Any fans out there watching or listening from Pittsburgh, reach out to me. I love it. So Jaromir Jagr, obviously, pretty famous hockey player. You've all seen him play. His bobbleheads got stolen. Can you imagine that? They were giving away his bobbleheads. Just the quick story of a bobblehead. They get made in China. Then they get carted over to California by boat. It's actually by ship, not a cruise ship, like a cargo ship. Then they're taken off the cargo ship, they're loaded on trucks, and they're driven to the ballpark. And they arrive way before the day before the game or the week before the game. If you know that you're having a Jagr bobblehead, you know a year in advance when the schedule first comes out, you choose the date, you make the order, you get it approved, get it ordered, get it sent. You don't cut it so close. The Penguins cut it so close. They couldn't do it. It was right up to bobblehead day. They hadn't gotten them. And guess what? They had to make an announcement that they were shocked to be the victim of cargo theft. And they're working closely with local and federal officials. That's pretty funny. Do you think there's a chance that Ray Liotta and his crew from Goodfellas were doing the cargo theft? Did they know there were bobbleheads and what they were stealing? Do you know what the value is of a Jagr bobblehead? Let's just pretend. What is it? Could it be $30 on the open market? $50 maybe? It's pretty famous, pretty good bobblehead. I think that you should steal some other stuff. Coca just whispered something in my ear that's very funny, Coca. Do you want that said to the show? It's pretty good. What if the thieves were told to steal penguins and ended up stealing the wrong penguins? That's like a movie, except they didn't steal penguins. They didn't even steal the wrong penguins. They stole crates. Bobbleheads come in these boxes and they're labeled. It says Jagr bobbleheads, 1 of 40, if you're getting 40 cases or 40 pallets, whatever you're getting. They're all numbered. So when someone took it, I don't care what language you speak. I don't care what disability you have. When you are schlepping a carton of bobbleheads, they're damn heavy. You're going to look and say, wow, I thought we were stealing money. Let me look to see. I thought we were stealing art. This is a weird shape art. They're all the same. Think someone sent them to just steal the cartons of bobbleheads? Don't forget box 69 of 70. It's not great. So now they have to go through and give you a whole QR code that can be scanned because they don't want anyone to get a Yager bobblehead who doesn't buy tickets to the game. So you have to show up to the game still against the San Jose Sharks. If you don't go to the game, you can't get the QR code, and then you can't get the bobbleheads should they ever recover them. Or they get new ones made in China. Aaron Rodgers definitely hired a crisis PR team. Samson and Coca were hired by Aaron Rodgers. We could have done better than what he did. They had him release a tweet. Wanted to make sure it was like the lead story all day yesterday. Wanted to make sure that we all knew that Sandy Hook was a, quote, absolute tragedy. Absolute. It's not a partial tragedy. It's an absolute 100% tragedy. So he releases this on Twitter. I don't really understand how he would release something or agree to release something that included the following sentence. I am not and have never been of the opinion that the events did not take place. Just throwing it out there for anyone who's willing to ponder. That sounds like crisis PR to me. Why wouldn't you be able to say and let the words come out of your mouth? I am not and have never been of the opinion that innocent children were not murdered by guns. How about that? Just on a hunch, just for S's and G's. You think that's how people refer to it when their kids get sent to school and come back in boxes? They refer to that as the events of the day? I don't think so. But thank God the crisis PR team said, my thoughts and prayers continue to remain with the families affected. Thank God. Now we're back to being a VP candidate because you've got thoughts and prayers for the people affected by the events. Nothing personal pick of the day. Did you know how we did? We had the Bucks giving 8.5 to the Sixers. Do you know what the final score was? The Bucks won by 9. Boom. Brought to you by, I got to practice that. Do we do a live read or something at this point next week or in 2 weeks whenever the actual sponsorship starts? There's an MLB game on March 20th. How are we going to do that when the Korea game started 6 a.m. on the 20th? I guess that'll be my pick of the day on the 19th, which is really the 20th. Sort of. We'll figure it out. We're going to be watching a game. We're going to be doing a dual screen show, which will annoy Coca because people will be listening to the podcast after the game's over. But so what? That's like the Oscar thing we did this weekend, Coca. People loved it. Gonna have my iPad up watching Glasnow against an as yet unnamed Padres starter. Did they really not name their starters yet for next week? Is that possible? Have you seen that, Coca? Anyway, we had the Bucks minus 8.5. We're 34-35. Tonight will be a special night. Hold on, incoming. Thank you for your payment. Why would that come in under Dan Le Batard? We're going to take the Spurs plus 10.5. We're going to take the Rookie of the Year guaranteed winner over the guaranteed MVP. I don't think they're going to win the game, but I like them getting 10.5. I like Victor Wembanyama to have a very good game against the Nuggets. Although, isn't this just one of those games where the Nuggets look and say, hey, child, just know that you're not even close. Or do they say, hey, you're really close, but we're just going to win right at the end to let you know, close but no cigar. I want the 10.5 points. I'm tired of Nick Saban. Raise your hand. I've always been tired of Nick Saban. His shtick ran old to me. Obviously, fantastic job coaching. He's a winner. He made a ton of money. All the ways in which you measure. The reason he retired, we did a whole segment on it, an episode, whenever, 699, anytime, I can't remember which, that he can no longer control the narrative of his team. The way Alabama was successful is he landed his helicopter in your high school field and said, come with me, little boy, and I will make everything good. You will win and make money. Look, right in the helicopter, we've got a briefcase of cash for you. And then NIL came along, and now it's legal, and everybody's giving money. So Nick Saban has been on a crusade. Not only did he retire, but he decided to take the extra time and go with his wife, go to Washington, testify. I love these people who testify. Congress, they're all nervous. There's Nick Saban in his best Sunday best blazer. Not Alabama red anymore. Sitting next to Ted Cruz. Don't get me started. I like one person. Let's not talk politics, but if you voted for Ted Cruz, just tell me why. I want to learn. I want to learn what he does for you in Texas. Teach me. Teach me. I'm easily taught. Nick Saban sitting at the hearing, talking about NIL, talking about regulation, and wants to make sure that everybody understands. Everybody is very clear. Whoever wants to pay the most money to buy the most players, they're going to have the best opportunity to win. You're going to create a system where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, and then the fans will not want to watch the games. Take 1 minute to really let that marinate. That's the system that enabled Nick Saban to succeed at Alabama. He literally described the way it's always been, where the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. It's what we just described as going on everywhere. And that's really stopped people from watching college football. Interest in college football has plummeted. No one's watching. So here's what I would do, Nick said. I'd create a better quality of life for student athletes. Emphasize development, create brand and athletic development. But we'll do revenue sharing, but don't make them employees. You're aware, of course, the politics of this. Your politics that the left want them as employees, the right do not want them as employees. You're aware that Alabama won 6 national titles with student athletes not being employees, and it made Alabama who they were. You're aware that Alabama has not won since NIL happened and was official. You're aware that the leveling of the playing field is the point. And what Saban is trying to convince you is that no, NIL will not make it level. The NIL will continue what already existed, where it wasn't level. He's so inconsistent with what he's saying that it's laughable. I can't quite figure out what his point was or what he was saying or what he was doing. So then they send out the athletic director. In theory, the athletic director is more buttoned up, more able to speak in public maybe, more able to think about the macroeconomic situation of NIL, in charge, in theory, of all sports on campus, from football to field hockey and everything in between. So they send Greg Byrne up to the stand, up to the table. How you doing? Hey, I just got to tell you, let's just be honest here. Without football and basketball, there aren't any other sports. We need the revenue from those. I mean, if it weren't for football, that'd be it for practically every sport at the University of Alabama. Anyone hear that before? Anyone hear before the athletic directors telling you about the money their programs are losing and how if they do not get made whole with the COVID issue, if they're not allowed to raise money or get boosters or have revenue the way they do, then the impact, they're not going to get rid of football at Alabama, but all these other programs will disappear. To which I say, okay. That's not a threat to anyone in business. Underperforming programs, you have two choices. It's like science or art history, water polo. If you want to offer those as benefits to your campus community, then do so. But they're not going to be profitable. If you want to offer a class on examining the size of the private parts on Greek Greco-Roman sculpture, great. There may be 6 to 9 people who do that class. You're going to have to get a teacher, but we may just use a TA. But the likelihood is it's not popular. It's going to be a losing proposition, but we love that it's an offering because in our catalog of classes, we can go this big and not that big. That's how the athletic department should be. There are certain categories in a business, certain silos, certain business centers that are profitable. Those get the attention. You try to make the most profitable even more profitable. You try to take the losses and see if you can turn them into revenue neutral or gains. When you can't, you shut it down. It's like a franchise location. If it doesn't work, you shut it down. You don't close down Chick-fil-A. So I don't really care much about the threat that Alabama and that Nick Saban or the AD are giving, or that any of these other people are giving. They're not lying to you about the revenue and expenses and the bottom line of athletic departments. It's 100% true. There are the football and basketball is it. It's sort of how I feel about the science museum or a children's museum. Great communities have those things. They are supported by the government. They don't have a positive P&L. They raise money. They have private board of directors. They try to get community involvement as much as possible. They'll do the gala every year, raising a couple mil. But at the end of the day, they are still supported by the public because the government believes it's their job not to be profitable. And they're right. Their job is to support things in your community that make you want to live in your community. Things in your community that make people want to come to your community. Things in your community that make businesses want to be located in your community. I feel that sports are that way at a university. I'm a water polo player. Let me give you another example. I'm a chess player. I want to play club chess. I want to play on the chess team. It's not going to make money. We're going to need subsidies to travel to chess tournaments. And the university will certainly pay for it because they want a bunch of smart people playing chess because it helps their average SAT score and their rankings on U.S. News and World Report. The rankings for those are not impacted by whether or not there's a ping pong team. Here's how I think this plays out. I think that Nick Saban's talking to the wind. I think that schools and universities are going to realize that they have got to decide where they're going to spend their money. And they're going to realize that lesser sports are just not worth it, especially with conference realignment, with schools flying all over the country for all sports. When a school joins the Big Ten from the West Coast or the Big East from the West Coast or the Pac-10 from the East Coast or the Big 15 from the Southeast, whatever the case may be, it's not just for football. There are teams that then have to travel extensive amounts. It's too expensive. At the end of the day, those teams will just go away. Is that bad? If you're a parent of one of those players, then maybe not. Can you picture the UCLA? What's a random team at UCLA? The UCLA Trivial Pursuit team is going to have to fly to Rutgers. That's just funny to me. And I love Rutgers. I love you, Jonathan. And I love UCLA and USC. But it's not going to happen long term. What a week. All right. I'm closing up the week. I gotta finish with this one quick story about what happened to me this week. Coco, do we have time? We have 2 minutes. Indulge me in this end of week story as we approach Friday at 8:45 a.m. Eastern time. Thank you for all the hours you've given me this week. I was thinking about Jerry Jones and the fact that he still has a paternity suit out there, and his daughter, his grown daughter, was trying to sue him, and that suit got thrown away. I was thinking about Dak Prescott, who is suing someone for defamation, who's suing him for sexual harassment. Investigations are ongoing. I was thinking about all of the lawsuits going on. I was thinking about Kate Middleton and Prince William and the nightmare PR that's going on there. And I was thinking about all of these stories that keep coming up. Who's with who? Who's having kids with whom? Horton, here's a who. And I realized that in this era, social media has made it so we have become addicted to the moment. And the only way to feed our addiction is with more and more outrageous, grisly stuff that we used to be able to wait a week for when the next National Enquirer came out. We can't even wait a minute. And we believe that the courts are the best way to satiate our being wronged. Give me $100 million. You're rich. I want your money. Are you my mother? Are you my father? Who's doing what to who, when, where, how? It's gotten insane. And what occurred to me during the course of this week is we had this great Oscar show on Sunday that so many tens of thousands of you listened to concurrently and watched and participated in. As we give you this show every week, what's occurred to me is that it's never enough for me or for you. Could I do 50 minutes? Should I? More shows. More. Doesn't anyone get tired anymore? Have a great weekend. Be careful out there. It's just business. This is nothing personal. We'll be right back.